will say that I have shed innocent blood. What's blood for, if not for shedding?
I just can't take no pleasure in killing. Just some things you gotta do. Don't mean you have to like it.
There is nothing to worry about. You're gonna be just fine. I'm your number one fan.
Let her get away, Mommy.
Welcome to an ultra special edition of Horrifying My Friends. I'm horror host Trav, and joining me as always is producer Kate.
Hello.
And a special guest this week. So a few weeks ago, my wife Rose, who has been on the podcast many times at this point, listeners are very familiar, said, check out this Insta page, and I think you'll dig it. And it was the Tim Burton Catwoman look, which intrigued me. And then I went and checked out the rest of tonight's guest looks, and very, very cool. Very horror-oriented, very dark-oriented. And it's like, look at her Two-Face, and then go pull out your DVDs of Batman Forever's Two-Face, where it looks like he has gum on the side of his face. And it's like, why wasn't she around back then to do that makeup? And I knew we had to get her on. So without further ado, the immensely talented Cake Face.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
So listeners, this first segment will work like a regular, kind of a regular interview. Like if you've listened to, which other interviews have we, the David Dismalchin, stuff like that. We'll hit her with some questions and then we'll get into our top five lists. So with that, Katie, I'll start calling you Katie at this point. That's cool. What attracted you to do special effects makeup and makeup artistry in general? Like, was it a particular look or a film?
So it actually was the series Saw. I really loved like how gory it was. And then that really sparked that. And then of course, like I fell in love with like Tim Burton's like dark and weird like vibe. And that really just like catapulted me.
So like right off top, we just watched Rose and I watched a Nightmare Before Christmas. It was like a special documentary on Netflix. I think it was like the Christmas movies that made us.
Uh-huh.
And they went through like
the
whole process.
Yeah, I just watched that last night.
Dude, that was so good. And I'm like, how stressful would it actually be to be like they said Tim Burton like walked in and like put his size 14 black boot through the wall because he was upset about something. And I'm like, how stressed was that dude? That dude was making the second Batman movie. And on the back burner was Nightmare Before Christmas, like down in San Francisco or San Diego, wherever they were making it. But I'm like, how stressed would you be, man? But like, yeah, so cool. Like I said, right away, scrolling through your looks and videos and like some of your pictures and stuff, like I could see that Tim Burton influence. So I was like, I gotta bring up Tim Burton, man.
Oh yeah, totally.
Have you ever worked in special effects makeup or like for TV or anything, or is that something that you'd like to do one day?
I think I'd like to do that one day. I think I'd like to work for like a B movie, something that's kind of, at least to start, something a little more slow paced, because of course I've never been like on set. But that's actually where it starts. It always starts for like makeup artists on like that one movie, and then that one movie like takes off and then they become like famous. I don't know, but
I would like to see you do like a low budget slasher movie or something like that, like a Hatchet.
If there was any movie, like if you could like go back in time and be on the set doing special effects makeup, like what's one that you would pick that's maybe not on your list? Not to put you on the spot.
There's so many movies, but I have a specific one and it is on my list, but it's Pan's Labyrinth. I love that movie and it is like more of like a fantasy, but it is also like a horror too. And that's really what I like. I like that like silver lining between like the fantasy and meets horror vibe.
Oh yeah, that movie straight up scared me when I saw it the first time with the eyes and the hands and stuff. God. Oh my God.
So this is kind of along the same line as Katie's, like, but pretend for a minute that I'm a big budget producer in Hollywood and I say, here's $100 million, Katie. Like, here's $100 million. Go make your dream project. Like, what would that be? Like, if it's already been made, maybe remaking it, if it's a book, comic, whatever.
I know for a fact that if I did, it would definitely be like a fantasy slash horror movie because I like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe, honestly, maybe Lord of the Rings. Like, it would be so sick to go back in time and, like, work on that orc makeup. Like, oh. I'm so obsessed with that. I love it.
Lord of the Rings are fucking, like, those makeup jobs in that movie. Like, creating all the orcs and stuff. Like, if you go back and watch those movies, even still to this day.
And there's so many. Yeah, it was, that's one of my favorite series from childhood. I remember Travis's wife, Rose, who's a friend of the podcast, she's on all the time, especially with COVID and everything.
Yeah.
And, but she has a sort of after Christmas birthday. And one of the things we would do for her birthday when those movies were coming out is we would go and see, like, as a family, go and see the Lord of the Rings movies. We love them in this household.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
So last question here, unless Katie has any more. Special effects, digital and practical, as we know, are so important to horror, sci-fi, any genre film. What is your opinion on the debate between practical and CGI?
I just try to think in like a realistic way that CGI is expensive right now, but it is. Technology's taking over. It also is eventually going to become an inexpensive way because makeup really is expensive. And there's a lot of work that goes into making the prosthetics, and they'll spend months at a time just trying to like mask out people's faces and then trying to like cast it. And then you have to apply it. And then that person has to sit for like 6, 7, 8 hours at a time. So I've like, even from listening to some of the interviews and stuff, a lot of the actors don't like to be in makeup. They don't sitting that long. And I listened to like an interview the other day, or like a thing about Jim Carrey getting the Grinch makeup on him. Mm-hmm. And he was so upset like the first day that they put makeup on him. But I guess like one of the people that was on the set, like they quit, like they left. And then he like went back to his trailer and like kicked a hole through the wall. And like, so it's crazy how like intense it is for the person that's getting the makeup on and also like the makeup artist. So as much as I hate to see that it's CGI is taking over, it's kind of, in a weird way, it kind of is like beneficial for not only like the producer or director, but also for the actor. So it sucks. Makeup was never going to die.
No, for sure. And I really like, I see that point for sure. Like, I'm always on here like railing against CGI and stuff, but there is just some stuff that you really can't do, like, you know, like practically, like for instance, like, not, this isn't a horror, but it's like Superman and shit. It's like,
yeah, you can't actually make him fly.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. Even though the 78 Christopher Reeve movie was awesome, but it's like, yeah, I mean, with Man of Steel and stuff, you can't really do that with practical effects and stuff. So with that, I kind of want to get into our, did you have any more questions, Katie? Mm-hmm. I kind of want to get into our top five list. So with that, as listeners know, this is how it's going to go. Like, Kate will give her number five, and then I'll give my number five, and then her number four, my number four, and we'll go down our list until we get to our number one. So would you like to start with your number five?
Yes. So my number five is The Hills Have Eyes.
Ooh,
and
okay.
That movie is just like, I know that it's just, it's a lot. Like, it's a lot to handle a movie. But that makeup is so impressive.
Is this the one from the 2000s?
I don't know.
I'm guessing it is for sure. Because that one is, yeah, that makeup is sick.
The guy's wearing like five prosthetic pieces on him. That's all just like combined together, completely seamless. Like, I love it. And then, of course, it's like that slasher dark movie. I like that stuff.
Oh, yeah. And that, like, you go on road trips. Even like we'll be going to our, like, we went on a cabin, like a little, like, it was like in Tennessee or whatever. And you can't help but think about that movie. It's like you're driving out in the middle of nowhere and shit. And like all these like hillbillies and rednecks and stuff. Sorry if that's not PC, but like you're like out in the middle of nowhere and you're just like, dude, these people out here like to hunt. They like to kill things. Like, what do we do if they turn and face us? Like,
yeah.
And you especially, like, being out there, like, in the, because you said you're in Arizona, right? Like, the Southwest and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like, that movie is just set up for being out there, like, Nevada. I think it takes place in Nevada. But, yeah, a great movie. I'm assuming, yeah, you're meaning the Alexander Aja one. Have you ever seen a movie called High Tension?
Oh, Lord.
So that,
You're always so, trying to get people to watch this.
Yeah, I'm like horrifying her, and she's not even asked. So Alexander Aja made High Tension before he made that. That's a movie that like I would really, really recommend as far as wet makeup and stuff too. Like that movie's bonkers, man. It's a lot like Inside, which we covered on the podcast. Like crazy, crazy special effects because it was made in like France. So it's like they don't give a fuck over there, man. They're doing all kinds of shit. Like
yeah, floods. It's very, very messed up. So just warning you.
Yeah. But she said she likes messed up stuff. Okay, so my number five. Clive Barker's Nightbreed. Main special effects was Mark Collier, Paul Jones, Tony Gardner. I'll have this like little section on my list that has the main one and then his team and stuff. Of course, we all know like they have a big, big team. It's like a big, as you know, for sure. Helped create this world of monsters in this beautiful film these people did. If you've never seen a Clive Barker film, it really blends fantasy and horror like in such a cool way. Check out his film Hellraiser. Like any listeners out
there. I love the special effects makeup in Hellraiser.
Yeah. But it's like, and Stay for Nightbreed and Intermedian, Home for the Monsters. So this movie hit me like at a young age, like teen, like early teen. And it's like everyone's feeling like an outcast and stuff. And that's what this movie's kind of like. That's the main themes of this. It's like, it's a big, big metaphor for being an outcast and like finding a safe place for you. It brings these characters, Shuna Sassi, Peliquin, Narcisse. Like there's this iconic scene where Narcisse, he thinks that Boone, the main character, is sent from Midian to like, and he has to prove himself to him. So he takes like razors and starts like cutting his own scalp off. And that scene just looks like so cool, dude. But yeah, that's my number five. Nightbreed from Clive Barker. So your number four, Katie.
Okay, so my number four is 13 Ghosts. That Ooh. Movie, oh my gosh, I can't remember how old I was when I saw that, but definitely like a young teen, and I was terrified of that movie. Like it was so scary, and specifically the Jackal was like the scariest one. And so I recently did that makeup look because I was like, dude, it's a classic. People, it's becoming a classic. I feel like it died. And then it's kind of like slowly reviving. But yeah, I love the makeup in that. The makeup on the princess is so cool. And then there's just so many. I chose that one because there's so many different makeup choices in that to love. It's just, it's great. And I love the actors in it. It's just, it's a good movie. It's like a hidden gem.
Yeah, that's a great one. I remember seeing that one and being scared. I saw it pretty young too. I think it's just something about like, I don't know how old you are, but I get this vibe that you're kind of in our generation. So like, I feel like our generation loved 13 Ghosts, and then it kind of dropped off because it wasn't this insta classic. Mm-hmm. And then now that we're all getting older, we're remembering it and feeling really nostalgic about it.
You go back and watch it and you're just like, oh, this is fucking good. Like Matthew Lillard for life and like, you know, all the
Oh yeah.
Like there's something to look back on those type of movies like 13 Ghosts and House on Haunted Hill remake, like Ghost Ship, like all those movies are so, so cool like back in the day. But yeah, that completely blew my hair back. Like your selection of 13 Ghosts, I'm not gonna lie. Like that is fucking awesome. Early 2000s horror for life. So my number four, George Romero's Day of the Dead from 1985. Legend Tom Savini was in charge of the main practical effects, which also featured a team featuring Greg Nicotero, who does the amazing effects in Walking Dead. Like, you know, say what you will about the show, but the effects are fucking amazing in that show.
The makeup for Walking Dead is incredible. Like, incredible. I feel like when they started coming out of The Walking Dead, it got nothing but better with the makeup, at least. Like, the makeup is insane. So
for sure. And my favorite scene in Day of the Dead was when they tore, I think it was Rickles, but this soldier kind of runs into the middle of this horde of zombies, and they like tear his body apart and all of his guts spew out and stuff.
I don't think I've seen this.
Yeah. So it's really, really, so we're only on Night of the Living Dead, but we're going to hit Day of the Dead and Dawn of the Dead with Matt and Danny. So for sure. That scene though, those effects on that movie are fucking unreal.
Yeah, I knew a zombie movie was going to be on one of your guys' lists.
It has to be. So you're number three, Katie.
So wait, before we get to mine, do you love like super gory movies? Is that like your thing?
Yeah. He does.
Yeah, I'm sick.
I saw like a video today. I've never seen the movie Wither. Have you seen that movie?
What is it? I'm sorry.
It's called Slither.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's disgusting. I've never seen it, but I saw like a bit of it and I was like, that's I don't know. I think I kind of want to watch it, but.
So the funny thing, do you like Marvel movies like Guardians of the Galaxy? So yeah. That's made by the same guy. James Gunn made like Slither and Super and a few other movies. But yeah, he was like, he started in Troma, like making Troma movies, which are like highly offensive, like gory, Toxic Avenger, like type of movies. And then he went on to make Guardians of the Galaxy, which is just like crazy to me. But yeah, Slither is bonkers, dude.
It was so disgusting, but it really is incredible. These like, I don't know, maybe it's just like, I don't know if he's the writer, but it's crazy how much different content that these people can like come up with, like creating like Slither, and then they're like, oh, I'm just going to come up with like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, they're going to create like Groot and Rocket Raccoon as
these little
everlasting,
cute things.
Yeah, like this bonding friendship and stuff, and it's like, this is the same guy that did Slither. you're number three.
Yeah, so my third one is going to be Pan's Labyrinth. And that movie is like tied in the same time as like Saw, but I really fell in love with the way that entire movie is done anyway. But the Pale Man was like my calling in that movie because it's just like so incredible. And Doug Jones, who is the actor for that, he's like tall and like super thin. So every time that like Guillermo needs him to be some type of creature, but he's always cast for that. But I freaking love Guillermo. I love like all of his work. He's done like Hellboy, and I love that like fantasy, and I like the way he ties that in. So yeah, Pan's Labyrinth is sick. The Fawn in the movie is sick. And I just love this story. I love that it's all in Spanish. And it's just like a really great movie.
So Guillermo almost made my list. I'm not gonna lie. Like I almost put Hellboy on my list. Like Hellboy has a lot of like cool. And then just Ron Perlman, you know, painted like, he is fucking Hellboy, man.
Yeah. Like, painted red with his cutoff horn.
I think it's almost like iconic as like a Freddy Krueger or something. Cause it's like, he is that role so much that's why that reboot I think failed. Cause it's like,
yeah, people just expect his face for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that was a cool number three, though, for sure. Like, Pan's Labyrinth is such a cool movie, man. And Guillermo has such an appreciation for the practical, you know, of it all and stuff.
Yeah.
He's just an artist, man.
I listened to an interview with him the other day, and he's, like, he's just genuinely a good person. And, like, you can tell in his interview, just, he's super nice. It was him and Doug Jones. They were talking about the movie Shape of Water and just their relationship with each other. And, like, I don't know, it's just really nice, and it's really, I don't know, kind of a breath of fresh air to know that people who are famous or popular or whatever, who genuinely just have a good heart and care about their cast.
For sure. And he is like a fan's, like he is a fan making movies too. Cause like, have you ever seen, he did an interview one time and he has a complete other house for movies and shit, like movies, books, comics, like toys. He has a complete other house.
It's just to house all of his things.
And I'm like, yes, that is me, dude. Like, that's what I would have.
If you can't tell.
That is so me.
I love it.
But yeah, he is such a cool, like, from all, like, no one ever has a bad word to say about that guy. Like, he is just a filmmaker's dream, really. Like, or a cast's dream, I should say. So my number three, a little bit crotchier person than Guillermo del Toro, but it's John Carpenter's The Thing. Main special effects was by Rob Bottin. So we actually covered this for the show. Did the special effects blow you away, like in that movie?
A lot of them did. Yeah. Some of them didn't age well to me. some of the transformation scenes, but I think by and large, I think a lot of them were really impressive. And
sure,
I think for when it was made, it was in the 80s,
82,
right?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I thought it looked good. I mean, and that's just such a great story. You really can't fuck with it.
Yeah, so crazy, crazy shit in this movie that looks insane and even looks even real today. Groundbreaking special effects. My favorite has to be like the walking head. But that whole sequence, like, when they put him up there and they go clear and they put those things, what are those things called? Like, I don't even know.
What were they, like jumper cables?
Yeah,
or something?
Jumpers or something. And that dude's stomach just opens up and then eats that guy's arms. Like, you're just like, what am I watching? You're like, what drug did somebody slip me or something? Like, that's what like is going through your head when you're watching those movies. But yeah, like that movie is so fucking crazy. Like, have you ever watched that movie, The Thing?
I think I watched that when I was younger. When I was high school, I was like really into watching a lot of like, I don't know, really gruesome movies like that. But I do remember like bits of that movie, and it is freaking intense. And a lot of those older movies, because they had to like try to make it look as realistic as possible, it kind of pisses you out even more than nowadays, because you're like, they've tried so hard. That looks very realistic.
Yeah, Travis showed me an interview with Rob Bottin, yeah. Who was in charge of special effects, and he was like, this is like his first like real job doing this, like for a big film
or something.
And so he was like flying by the seat of his pants for a lot of this, but managed to pull it off. And there's interviews with him and John Carpenter about the making of the thing. And I think it would be really fun for you to listen to, just as someone who knows what it takes to put these kinds of effects and looks and things together. Just their stories are really funny.
They even say, like, they're like, we were so depressed because the movie was a bomb, and it's like, we worked on this thing for like 3 years up in the middle of nowhere, like in the snow, and then it came out and it was out of theaters in like a week. People are just like, what did I do?
Like, yeah, I but now so it's work. Like this yeah. Total classic, and you should definitely rewatch it. Like, now that we've all been living in quarantine for a year, basically, really, the themes in that movie are really hit home to now.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. So
like,
that,
who can you trust? Who's wearing their mask?
Yeah, who's a fucking alien and shit? I like to think that's what's next, right? Like, when are the aliens landing? Like, I mean, that's what I'm waiting for.
It's gotta be, right?
They've already landed.
Yeah, we are all aliens. So, yeah, my number three, The Thing. So, Katie, your number two.
So, my number two is, of course, The Nightmare on Elm Street, right? Because freaking Freddy Krueger is a badass. I love how raunchy he is. You've got the slasher, and you've got the raunchy, and I freaking love this scene where Tina is, like, laying in bed, and just, like, she just gets gashed across her chest, and, like, she's going, like, up the wall, and she's getting, like, freaking cut up along the wall and the ceiling, and you can't see Freddy, and, like, it's just so gory, but great. Like, you're just like, where is he? It's so good.
And that scene in particular is, like, so, so scary, like, in that movie. Like, some of the elements, because we covered it with Lori, and some of the elements were, like, a bit campy, like, like watching it through a modern lens. But then that scene, it's just like that score is dun 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 dun, and she's like on the ceiling, like you said, blood splattering. You're just like, holy shit.
Yeah, that scene's genuinely chilling, I think, for a movie that has so much humor in it. But yeah, I was talking to Travis because I don't have a top five, because I don't think I've seen enough films in the genre to make a judgment on top five. But I think if you ask anybody what's the like most iconic horror makeup, even if you've only like seen a few movies, even if you haven't seen Nightmare on Elm Street, everyone is going to say Freddy Krueger. Oh, everyone knows his face. They know that burned up sort of scarred mask. Well, it's not really mask, his face.
Yeah.
They know that, and they know, of course, the claw, like his
classic, yeah. Friday the 13th, classic. Michael Myers, classic. You know, like, those are, everybody, at least almost everybody knows who they are. If you like horror, you know who they are.
Yeah, that was a great number three. Nightmare on Elm Street, fucking classic movie, like you said. Number two for me, James Whale's Frankenstein from 1931. I had to throw one of the classics in there, man. Like, makeup done by Jack Pierce. He created a look of Frankenstein with Boris Karloff. A lot of people, you know, always 100% credit Boris Karloff, but it's like, if you look at that makeup job and like the prosthetics and stuff that they put across his forehead, it's like, you can't think about Frankenstein without thinking about Boris Karloff. Yeah, like everything.
Kind of like the Neanderthal, kind of like forehead. Yep. And, yeah.
Just sure. That iconic look. And it's like, and a lot of people don't even, they don't even realize that it is from that, but it's like everything that you see of Frankenstein is directly influenced from that film, like Boris Karloff and all those old movies. But yeah, my number two, I had to throw an oldie in there, 1931's Frankenstein. So Katie, your number two. Or is one. It number one? I always do that.
So going off of the Frankenstein, that one is such a good choice because people do forget about the classics. Mm-hmm. Like you have to like where it all started, and freaking Frankenstein is, like you said, like everybody goes off of that original look. Mm-hmm. And makeup artists back then really didn't get any type of credit. Like they really just, they were part of the crew, but they went underneath the radar. So I'm glad that you brought that one up. But so my number one is kind of a tie. I really like, even though this one is new and not a classic, I really like Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, because that movie was mostly makeup. And like the only part that was CGI was a toe that's supposed to be missing. Yeah. That movie, I don't know, it like did not get good reviews, but of course, since I'm already like a fan of Guillermo's work, I freaking love it. Oh, so yeah. Me and my husband went and saw it in the movie theater, and I don't know, I was blown away. I loved it. Of course, I've read like the Scary Stories books. I bought those from like the Scholastic Book Fair when that was like a thing. Yeah, that makeup, it's so good. Eventually I'll do like a character from that because I really want to. And then I also really like Saw, and I really like a specific scene that's in Saw 3D, the final chapter. Of course, it's not real makeup, but it's, it looks dope. And there are two guys, and they're like at the end of kind of like a table, and there's a saw in front of each of them. And then above them is like a woman that has been, I guess, like seeing both of them behind, but they didn't know. And there is a saw underneath her, and she's hanging above it. And they have to push this saw at each other or decide to leave it in the middle and let her get cut up. So she's like talking to each of them, like, no, I love you, get him, no, I love you. And so the guy's like, fuck this. And so they let it go in the middle. And in the scene, it's in like a mall or something. So they're in front of a glass window, but all of these people, there's a huge crowd all watching this happen, but they can't get through because it's like the glass is unbreakable. And so of course she ends up falling, and then it like splits her open, and they try to make it all 3D. So like her intestines like flying out.
How have you seen this?
Oh yeah.
I need to watch that.
Yeah. And like the Saw series gets a lot of hate, like for some reason. And I'm like, dude, yes. Is it gore porn? Yes. But is it awesome? Yes. Like also yes. A scene in Saw, I think it's Saw 2, that I always fucking think about because I work retail, so it's like we're censoring clothes all the time and stuff, and you're reaching your hand like into a like a kind of like a little bin of pens, like to censor. And I always think about a scene from the second one where you have to dive into like a big pit of needles. Dude, it is like so fucking say that one. That scene like kept me up at night, man.
I've only seen the first one.
You've only seen the first one?
Yeah. How many are there? Like six?
Ooh.
Seven. There's gotta be,
there's eight or nine, there's gotta be. But yeah, so to touch on your first choice, that book series was so important to like our generation, like the newer generations and the older generations, like just don't get that. And like we, like you said, the Scholastic Book Fairs and stuff, like we checked out all those books, and like the Christopher Pike books and like the Goosebumps stuff, young adult horror and stuff was so freaking big for us. And that's why, you know, we're doing what we do today. It's like it is really, really important. And I'm so glad that they made a movie out of that just to like kind of put those books into the hands of newer generations. It's like when Phoebe gets a little bit older, you know, I'll maybe slip that book kind of under your door.
My daughter's not even two and he's already trying to horrify her.
But yeah, that is like, that is an awesome fucking top, you know, number one of your list, like for sure. And never shy away from your Saw fandom.
Saw is so cool. There's so many like really inventive ways to like be gruesome, but whenever I saw the first one, I actually hated it. I did not like the first one, but then I saw the second one, and then that I was like, oh wow. And then I binge watched like the rest of the movies, and then I think it was right around the time when like Saw, I think 5 or 6, I can't remember which movie they're on now, they kind of all blend together after a while, but I went and saw that one in the movie theater. Oh no, it was Jigsaw is the last one that they just did. I went and saw that one. But yeah, they have a lot of really inventive things in it. And of course, since I do like gory movies too, and I'm like, it hits the spot. And it's fake. I like that. I don't like things that kind of like based off of real things. I'm like, I kind of shy away from that. That's real. I'm like, Saw could be real, but it's not. It's fake.
Yeah, it's definitely like elevated in the right parts. Like, you know, there's a serial killer named Jigsaw and stuff. He wears a pig mask and shit. Like, but yeah, excellent choices for your number one. My number one is American Werewolf in London, directed by John Landis. Effects done by the legendary Rick Baker. This actually is groundbreaking for a reason. Like, they won the Oscar back in 1981, I believe, for best makeup. So it's like the first, the Oscars are notorious for, you know, shortchanging horror, like not even looking at horror. Mm-hmm. And mostly for a lot of good scenes in the movie, but how can you not talk about the transformation scene? They used robotics, body parts, and like prosthetics and all kinds of stuff, blending it together with makeup to create this like transformation scene that is unreal. Like, I showed Kate before the producer, Kate before the show, and she was even like, holy shit. Like,
I've actually never seen that movie. And just that, seeing that little bit of the transformation, I was so impressed.
Have you ever checked that out?
So I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I definitely need to watch it. Cause like you were saying, it was like the first, it was the first time that makeup artist ever got an Oscar for makeup, which is so kind of wild. Cause again, I know that makeup artists aren't in the scene, but they're a big part of the production. So, but it is really impressive. Like, even for anybody who's like never seen it, they can definitely just look up like a clip on YouTube to see how he like transforms into the wolf. And it's just like,
oh yeah,
it's so intense for what they had at the time.
Oh yeah.
It looks great. It's so much better than CGI wolf transformations mm-hmm. that I'm used to seeing in like newer movies. Mm-hmm. There's just something so visceral about it when you watch it. Cause like you see the bones changing and popping out of his back, and like you see the like
oh, and
the
he's in hands agony.
And feet yeah. stretching and oh. And his hair growing. I don't know, it's just really cool.
Oh yeah, for sure, body horror, like for sure. Mm-hmm. So now that we've concluded our list, that was like super super fun. I want you to tell the listeners where to find you, like pimp all your Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff, because I really want our listeners to check all your stuff out, because like what you're doing is really really cool. And like I sent my brother the Two-Face pic earlier, and he was like, holy shit, like, it's like awesome. But yeah, for sure,
yeah, definitely go follow Cakeface.
So you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube under Cakeface, and that's CAYKEFACE.
For sure.
The yeah. cake face was taken, so I had to pop that Y in there.
But for sure, go check out her stuff. I want to thank you so much for joining us, though. Like, this has been really, really fun. And it's often like a blind spot for me to like really, really go back and focus on the special effects and like makeup of a lot of these movies that I love. So I really, really want to thank you for joining me and Kate.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm glad that you guys like saw my like Marvel DC series that I was doing, because normally I've always tried to like stray away from kind of copying art. Like I always try to kind of like put my own twist on it. And so around that time was when I was just like, I really love a lot of these characters, and now I'm going to redo them. And it's funny that that was something that brought us together.
Oh yeah, for sure. But yeah, seriously, thank you so much. And this has been like really, really fun, but I hope listeners enjoy it. You want to close us out?
Yeah. With that, you guys know where to find us on social media. Of course, we'd love if you'd subscribe, give us a review, all that good stuff. We will make sure to link to Katie's, all of her accounts so that you guys can get to those from our social when we post about this episode. So thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.